AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Indiana State Police say there have been at least three deaths in an apparent tornado in Winchester. Tornadoes have been reported in Kentucky and Ohio and hail in Texas. Weather Channel meteorologist Chris Warren.
A severe weather threat that has been picking up very large hail and tornadoes, with a damaging wind threat also going through the overnight hours as the threat shifts now to the south.
Snow in portions of Colorado has reached as high as 3 feet. The father of a Michigan school shooter has been found guilty of involuntary manslaughter.
Tate Mirror, guilty of involuntary manslaughter.
James Crumbly was found guilty on all four counts. His wife Jennifer was convicted on the same charges last month. Prosecutor Karen McDonald says they could have prevented the shooting
and saved these kids' lives and protected the hundreds of kids in the school that day.
Legal analyst Jessica Levinson says this won't be the last time a gunman's parents are held responsible.
We will potentially see prosecutors try this avenue again in other cases.
Stacy Lynn, CBS News.
New York City police say an argument on board a moving subway train in Brooklyn ended in gunfire as passengers looked on. NYPD Transit Chief Michael Kemper says a man acting in an aggressive manner pulled out a gun as the argument turned into a fight. That's when the second man wrestled the gun away and opened fire.
There were multiple police officers in this station, just feet away from when this train pulled in, that actually heard the shots and were on scene within seconds, providing medical assistance.
The man who was shot is in critical condition. The other man is being questioned. Feds are investigating what is being called the biggest cybersecurity attack on America's healthcare system. Hackers shut down the payment processing arm of United Health Group 3 weeks ago, and many providers are still struggling. More from CBS's Nicole Skanga.
Concerns about a potential patient data breach have also prompted at least six class action lawsuits. United Health Group said in a statement that it's committed to providing relief to patients and practices affected.
Prosecutors say they're open to delaying the start of former President Donald Trump's New York hush money criminal trial for 30 days to give his lawyers time to review evidence. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
It's now up to the state court judge who would be overseeing this trial, previously set to begin on March 25th, to determine how long, if any, there will be in terms of delaying that trial date.
Top Senate Democrat Chuck Schumer calls for new elections in Israel, saying Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has lost his way and is an obstacle to peace. This is CBS News.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. That's progressive.com.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers signed 15 bills into law on Thursday. Among the new bills is an expansion of the state's Clean Water Fund program. That program helps to make sure communities have everything they need to keep their drinking water safe. The money can be used for everything from treating PFAS to upgrading wastewater systems. Other bills signed into law clarify hunting and fishing regulations and update electronic recycling rules. A Superior-based Catholic charitable organization is not exempt from paying unemployment taxes. The Wisconsin Supreme Court made the ruling against the Catholic Charities Bureau Thursday. While religious groups are usually exempt from paying taxes, the court found that because the work they did was secular in nature, they still had to pay. Attorneys for the group say that they intend to appeal the ruling directly to the U.S. Supreme Court. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Lopsided win for Wisconsin. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball from the Big Ten tournament in Minneapolis. The Wisconsin Badgers defeated Maryland by 31 points. Brian Butch, Matt LePay with the call on the Badgers Radio Network.
It was 20-2.
Yeah.
They limited the free throws by Maryland. Like, they did everything that they needed. It's a great performance.
Final score, Wisconsin 87, Maryland 56.
In the Big East tournament, Madison Square Garden, New York City, is number 4th-ranked Marquette with a tough game tonight against 6th-ranked Villanova. Baseball, Brewers' Bryce Turang named the starter at second base and asked, does he feel more confident heading into his second season with the crew?
I wouldn't say comfortable. We've been you understand, you get it, you get how the thing, like how to go along with things. And these guys here have helped a ton with making you feel like comfortable.
Brewers closer Devin Williams likely out until June after an MRI reveals a pair of stress fractures in his backbone. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, low upper 20s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, highs to the mid-50s. Partly sunny and breezy for the weekend, upper 40s Saturday, only mid-30s Sunday. Gradual warming trend into the work week next week, from the upper 30s Monday to the mid-40s by Wednesday. Currently, it's 37.
Friday on Up North News Radio, Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil and media critic Mark Jacob. Plus, we get a little closer to baseball season.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Ad Council.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Our prayer of thanks by Carl Sandburg. For the gladness here, where the sun is shining at evening on the weeds of the river, our prayer of thanks. For the laughter of children who tumble barefooted and bareheaded on the summer grass, our prayer of thanks. For the sunset and the stars, the women and the white arms that hold us, our prayer of thanks. If you are deaf and blind, God, is this all lost to you? God, if the dead in their coffins amid the silver handles on the edge of town, or the reckless dead of war thrown unknown in pits, if these dead are forever deaf and blind and lost, our prayer of thanks. God, the game is all your way, the secrets and the signals and the systems. And so for the break of the game and the first play and the last, our prayer of thanks. It is Thank You Thursday. We express gratitude not only for the recipient, but for the sender of the gratitude. It improves mood. It improves sleep. It sends signals of oxytocin. It improves relationships, improves productivity. It improves health. This isn't me talking. This is Berkeley talking. This is UC Santa Barbara talking. Studies done about the power of having gratitude as part of our lives. And there is a lot to be frustrated about. There's a lot to be afraid of. There is plenty to be sad for. But what are we grateful for? What is an innovation that we're glad happened? What is an effort of an activist? Who might be that activist that we appreciate? What's a piece of legislation that we're sure glad exists? What's an effort being undergone right now? What's somebody toiling away towards that you're rooting for? And relatedly, thank you for the effort. What are you grateful for? Lots of things to talk about today. One of them is gratitude. Once a week, let's at least dabble in the notion that, of course, all of us are doomed. None of us will leave this earth walking around on this earth. But in many respects, we're not merely doomed. There are things to love. There are things to be thankful for. This is the Tom Hartman Show. I'm Jefferson Smith. Call it number 202-808-9925. 202-808-9925. We won't only be about gratitude. Here are some other topics. One, just to be clear so everybody knows, yes, there are now enough delegate votes committed to the previously lowercase presumptive nominees. They are now uppercase presumptive nominees. They are now officially presumptive nominees, if that can be a thing. They don't become officially the nominees until the respective nominating conventions. But Donald Trump and Joe Biden, I should probably say President Joe Biden, and recently lost in court and in elections, former President Donald Trump, have now gained each enough delegate votes that they are the presumptive nominees. Something I do want to talk about, TikTok has now gone through its House vote, or I rather should say the House has had its vote to separate TikTok from ByteDance, its parent owner, based on its failure to secure data, based on manipulation of users, based on manipulation of elections and interference in elections, based on its ties to the Chinese Communist Party. A big bipartisan vote in the House to separate TikTok from its parent owner. I don't know what's going to happen in the Senate. There are various ways in the Senate that it might have a hard time to go through. Joe Biden has said he'd sign it. What do you think? I have thoughts. I'm interested in yours. And I don't want to taint the sample yet because I'm genuinely interested, even in the first blush opinion, although maybe they aren't first blush because the people who call probably will have read something or had some notion spread, maybe even on this program. But I am curious before I weigh in on my thoughts. And if you're curious about mine, I'll offer them. Spoiler alert, I'm going to speak out of both sides of my mouth on the issue. Call the number here, 202-808-9925. You listen to the Tom Hartman Show. I'm Jefferson Smith. 202-808-9925. Another one. Here's a fun one. And this is shout out to Rachel Bitecofer. I think that's how she pronounces her name. She suggests that now that Donald Trump has, in dictator fashion, purged the, I'm going to call it formerly the Republican National Committee, from non-clear Trump loyalist oath takers. People aren't necessarily in his closest Confederate circle, word Confederate used intentionally. Now he has installed his daughter-in-law as the co-chair of the Republican National Committee. Rachel's tip, and she said it'll drive your Republican friends crazy, is if they bring up the RNC, don't call it the RNC, call it the TNC, the Trump National Committee. And I try to be careful with inflammatory, like just picking inflammatory language, right? Oh, call Trump blank, mean word, right? I don't know. I like it if it's just a little bit subtle, if it's a little bit clever, if it's the kind of thing I think could spread a little bit and not just cause a stronger negative reaction and a bigger pushback, right? Coming to the side just from a little bit. I think TNC, not to be confused with TLC, who wanted to make sure that we didn't watch too many waterfalls, that I think TNC kind of comes from the side a little bit, and I kind of like it. Here's another little piece of news. We start our day. The Boeing whistleblower, the guy who was the quality assurance manager at Boeing, who years ago, before the door fell off in my state, the guy who came out and was concerned about substandard work being done at the Boeing plant in South Carolina, just showed up dead. Just died of a gunshot wound. And said it was self-inflicted. At first when I heard Boeing quality assurance manager found dead from gunshot wound, I assumed it was the person. My first blush, assumption's a strong word, my first reaction was I thought it was maybe the guy who was in charge of making sure the doors stayed on the planes. But to be clear, nobody died in that. It's a miracle, and I'm grateful for seatbelts. Must have been horribly scary for the people who lacked their door. But and I sort of assumed like, oh, this guy, it's Arikiri, I'm not going to call it an honorable suicide, but it was one based in shame for a failure. That was my first blush, but it wasn't. It was a guy who years ago needed to be listened to so that there weren't doors that fell out of airplanes. And it wasn't the guy's fault it was. It was the person who said the sky was falling and then the sky fell. My heart goes out to his family, and I can't help but just say it seems fishy. Just seems a little fishy. If it's feeling fishy, I've got to kind of say it feels fishy. That's kind of my job today. Today, back in the day, Albert Einstein was born. This is the anniversary of Albert Einstein's birth. A couple of quotes from him. If you cannot explain it simply, you don't understand it well enough. We will try to get into complex things and understand them as simply as we can. Also, life is like riding a bicycle. To keep your balance, you must keep moving. We'll keep it moving. We'll be back in a moment.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. Look deep into nature, and you'll understand everything better. Einstein, born today.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-421-9901, 800-421-9901, 800-421-9901. That's 800-421-9901.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Since the moment you were born, I've made 1,000 wishes. Wishes for your future. In a world that's changing fast. For all of the things you may one day do. Do play and laugh. Do win and lose. Do learn from your mistakes. And challenge yourself to grow. Do not be afraid. Or make decisions based in fear. Do it all with confidence and with kindness and strength. Do call your mom and ask her for advice. And always do your best to remember that no matter what you do in this life,
thank you.
What matters to me is that you keep doing. I love you always, Mom. Inspire kids to do at 4-H.org.
The morning show on WFHR, it's cutting edge.
So they have up on their sign, due to unforeseen circumcisions, the dining room will be closed this evening. Sorry for the inconvenience. What happened?
Oh, dear.
Employees are getting hazard pay. When did Pizza Hut have meat cutters?
Oh, wow.
We got to walk away from the mic on that.
Yeah, that one. That's a little late night there, Melissa.
That would hit close to home.
Getting a little salty.
Days from 8 to 10 only on locally grown radio.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Can I touch this? Where does sand come from? Is this tree good for climbing? What happens if I mix these two things together? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step. But you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Storing your guns securely is the best way to prevent family fire, including unintentional shootings. For more information on safe gun storage and ways to keep your family safe, visit endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org.
What do we keep in the attic? What's this thing called? Can I ride my bike backwards?
Like I said, kids are curious. It's up to us to keep them safe. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Everywhere.
Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them.
George Bailey, the dog, is back in studio today. And did you know that a lot of popular dog food brands have whole teams devoted to making their food as addictive as possible? And they use chemical flavorings to mask ingredients that are awful for your dog, which can lead to problems like low energy, skin issues, digestive problems. Here's the thing. Dog lovers who love their dogs know their dogs deserve food that tastes incredible and makes them feel incredible, too. That's why we love feeding our dogs Nature's Blend premium dog food formulated by Dr. Marty. Dr. Marty is the veterinarian called the miracle worker by Forbes magazine. Nature's Blend has zero artificial preservatives, flavors, or additives. Instead, turkey, beef, salmon, duck, and beef liver are the first five ingredients. So dogs naturally love the flavor of Nature's Blend. Today, you can get up to 54% off your first order of Nature's Blend, plus a free bag of Tilly's Treasures, their best-selling beef liver treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom or text THOM to 511-511. Text THOM to 511-511. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply. George is asleep. He is not roused by the events of the day. He reaches a point of zen amidst the chaos. And let's go back straight to Rick from Lexington, Kentucky. Go ahead, Rick.
All right, thanks for taking my call. I would just like to kind of make a point to you that me and Mr. Hartman, I've talked to him several times, and we discuss this same topic most times when I call. And basically what it is that you listen to news, cable news, any news you get, and basically the conversation is about conservatives, evangelicals, Americans, Trumpers. The bottom line is that at some point in time, we're going to have to say the word white people and designate what the problem is. What I say to you, this program does a very good job of allowing people to discuss policy and different topics. The big topic that we won't talk about is that 65% in the last presidential election, 65% of white men voted for Republicans and Trump, and 55% of white women did the same. And I say white women, white people, not to, you know, identify race, but to identify group of people. And what I would like a little bit more conversation to be held about is why is that the only group of people in this country that supports over 50% the Republican Party, Donald Trump, and anti-America?
That's a great question. So, and I'm happy to talk about it, but eager to talk about it, and don't think we should avoid it. And you're absolutely right. And I want to capture the first thing you said, because so often when you hear pundits describing election results, they will talk about categories, right? They'll talk about disaffected middle-class voters. They'll leave out what they mean as disaffected middle-class white voters. They'll say evangelical Christians. They'll leave out evangelical white Christians. They'll say certain groups of seniors. They won't say certain groups of white seniors. And it does color or decolor our understanding of what's actually happening. Ta-Nehisi Coates had his article describing Donald Trump as the first white president of the United States. And obviously, it wasn't the first white person to be elected president. His point was he was the first president elected based on an argument an explicit argument around his whiteness, where his supporters were leaning into their whiteness, thinking of themselves not merely as the dominant culture, but as a subculture within the United States that had to advocate for itself and define its standard bearer as the standard bearer for itself. That's not my argument. That's Coates' argument.
Can I make one more?
Please.
Can I make one more quick point to you?
Yeah.
I'm 70 years old.
Yeah.
Like I said, I've talked to Mr. Hartman a few times. He's 72. We grew up in this country primarily during the same period of time. Completely different lives, but we grew up in the country at the same time. He made a comment. Last time I talked to him, maybe 8 months ago, and we were in this conversation. About four callers later, a caller called in and picked up on the conversation, and Mr. Hartman said that, you know what, basically, my family, my friends, I come to find out that we very rarely talk about black people. And I didn't take offense to that. I think that's pretty true with a lot of white families, a lot of white people.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is what's not understood is everybody else in the country, black and brown people, talk about white people all the time.
Yeah.
Because we have to.
Yeah.
There's a new movie coming out. I forgot the Amazing Negroes, where the whole part of the movie is about keeping white people calm and keeping their attitude straight so it's not dangerous for everybody else.
Yep.
All I'm saying to you, Jeff, is that, like I said, the country does a great job talking about individual topics, individual policies, and how we can, you know, better ourselves. The number one thing to better ourselves is to give everybody a clear, honest answer to why white people support Republicans and Trump and are anti-American.
Yeah. So I don't know if I'm able to give a clear enough answer, because I think you've asked a really important question, and a question that isn't, I agree with you, isn't discussed enough. I've got some thoughts about it. My family's a little bit different, right? I grew up in Northeast Portland. Jackson came to my high school because I went to one of the only high schools with a large black population in my town. And my friend group is different from you know, a lot of friend groups who grew up in a more suburban area. But the so my wife and I, we talk about black people all the time. they're taking us to break. But I want to pick this up. I want to pick this up after the break. Quick answers include: I want to talk about Fox News. I want to talk about Lyndon Johnson's Civil Rights Act. I want to talk about the big realignment. I want to talk about the echo chamber that has become the Republican Party. I want to talk about some of the good news about the rising voting blocks of people of color. There's a few themes I want to hit. We'll be back.
Tom Hartman program. Call 202-808-9925.
Thank you, Rick, for the call. I'm going to pick it up after the break. This is Tom's show.
Your hometown Rage Talking Sports Station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS, or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you. We promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. That's 800-554-0206.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435. That's 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
CBS News Brief. They're cleaning up in the town of Milton, about an hour north of Louisville, Kentucky, after a storm swept through Thursday afternoon.
I was knocked over by the wind. I just looked up, and I just seen all the trees and the barn back there just be flattened all at the same time.
In Michigan, a jury has found the father of mass shooter Ethan Crumley guilty of involuntary manslaughter. Crumley killed four students at Oxford High School in 2021. Steve St. Juliana's daughter, Hannah, was one of those murdered.
Our children are dying on a daily basis in mass murders. And we do very little about it.
A New York City subway train was full of passengers when gunfire erupted. NYPD Chief of Transit Michael Kemper says a man pulled a gun on another man during a fight.
This 36-year-old male was described by multiple witnesses as being aggressive.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggeho. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Tony Evers is naming Marcus Hawkins as his new appointee to the state's Public Service Commission. Hawkins serves as the executive director of the Organization of Miso States, a nonprofit that works with energy officials in 15 states. He'll be replacing former Commissioner Tyler Huebner, who was fired by Republicans in the state Senate earlier this year. Hawkins' appointment to the PSC is effective until March of 2027. Wednesday's U.S. House vote to try and force TikTok's owners to divest from the Chinese government is a win for Wisconsin Congressman Mike Gallagher.
This is about foreign adversary control of American social media and, by extension, the dominant news platform for young Americans.
Both of Wisconsin's Democrats in Congress voted against the bill. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Sam Neill talked about being at the Jurassic Park premiere in London with his 10-year-old son and sitting next to Princess Diana. Apparently, Sam Neill's son had really bad gas through the whole premiere. His biggest fear was that Princess Di thought it was him, and he didn't say anything. He did not out his son. I think that's so cool.
That's a great dad right there.
That's a great dad.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, low upper 20s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, highs to the mid-50s. Partly sunny and breezy for the weekend, upper 40s Saturday, only mid-30s Sunday. Gradual warming trend into the work week next week, from the upper 30s Monday to the mid-40s by Wednesday. It's 39 right now.
The D3s.
D3 right in the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in and one.
The thrilling victories.
Badgers win it. Oh, did they dig in defensively tonight?
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Takes the three, sidesteps left for three, and the lead. He hit it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner, three. Got it again.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Did you know know that every weekday we send out an email before the show giving you all the topics coming up so you could be fully informed and ready to interact with our program? Or that after the show we send out Sue's Stack, a list of every topic I've discussed, along with clickable hot links to every source of information I've shared with you on the air? It's all completely free and available over at tom.tv, T-H-O-M.tv. Check it out. And we're back. We'll get to your calls in a moment. I did want to reply to Rick's insightful call. And it's actually one of the topics I wanted to cover this week. I didn't think we'd end up talking about it until tomorrow. But Rick chooses, which is great. His basic point was there's so much coded language about trying to understand the electoral power dynamics in the country. And very often that language is coded to avoid saying the word white people, to avoid saying that January 6th doesn't happen before white people. Donald Trump doesn't happen before white people. The attacks on democracy right now don't happen before white people. That the current Republican Party doesn't happen before white people. Fox News doesn't happen before white people. And very often there are descriptors of these things, like evangelicals, etc., that just avoid the fact that there is a monochromatic and monotheistic movement that has been at times running the country, is currently running meaningful portions of the country, and clamoring to run all of the country, even in an anti-democratic, and I appreciate what Rick said, anti-American way. And he asked a question, which I will attempt to respond to, but I'm not going to overblow any wisdom I have to offer by saying it is a sufficient answer, but it will be a response. So at least we can consider the question more deeply. About why that's the case. Why is it that white people have become, or the Republican Party has become the bastion of white people? Why white people become this force within the Republican Party that, 65% of white males, right? I understand that most people look like me voted for Donald Trump. Luckily, there's more than a third of us who didn't. But nearly two-thirds of us, I hesitate to say us, because that's probably not the group that I mostly consider myself within. I don't think it defines me more than, frankly, how I see the world. But it was white men that elected Donald Trump. White women helped a bunch, too. And why is that? I want to attempt that. I want to say just a little bit about background, or at least perspective, where I come to this. I have been very lucky. This is Thank You Thursday. We've got some more calls on the board to say what you're thankful for. Something I am very thankful for. I am thankful that I have had a varied set of experiences. That I went to either the first or second most diverse high school in my state. I am thankful that after that, I had a chance both to work as a cattle hand in rural Oregon and helping to run a summer program for Reverend Robinson in inner city, east side, Washington, D.C. Because of those experiences, I was mostly the first, because it was an old friend from high school. I was included and had a chance to be the token white guy to help start my town's black radio station. None of that. And then also had a chance to go to a fancy law school and sit shoulder to shoulder with people who led much fancier lives than I did. I say I'm grateful for that. It has not given me a perfect perspective of other people's lives. I am limited to my own lived experience. I have, at best, occasional empathy and sympathy and an attempt to put myself in other people's shoes. It doesn't mean that I've lived their life, but it does mean that I'm comfortable in a lot of walks of life. I can go to a fancy place and feel pretty comfortable. I can go to a place where I'm one of the only white people. I've been one of the only white people in the room a lot of times in my life. And I'm grateful because it may be uncomfortable, but it doesn't perfect my perspective. So I want to offer that obvious humility, that obvious caveat of the what the heck do I know? But I'll tell you what I think. At least a few thoughts. One, I'll say historically, why this question, Rick's question, why the Republican Party has become infested by white people? Why has it become dominated so much? One historical, and something that Tom's talked about, something people are relatively aware of, is historical that
the Republican Party was the party that was fighting against slavery. The party of Abraham Lincoln was early on the suffrage party, as well as the women's suffrage party, as well as the abolitionist party, and then it got occupied. And it got occupied not first by Southerners. It got occupied by Northern corporatists. It got occupied by Hanna, who helped elect McKinley with the first sort of big money corporate political campaign in American history. And sort of a takeover, the Whigs took over the Republican Party. The corporatists took over the Republican Party. And the Party of the Working Farmers, or Thomas Jefferson's Democratic Party, which unquestionably a racist political party, then became, in economic terms, the more liberal party, and started realizing something that Rick said that I want to latch on to. If we want to do something about wealth disparities, if the only thing we did was improve wealth disparities with people of color, we would come very, very close to getting to the world median in terms of economic equality. If that's the only way we spent our magic wand, obviously that would still leave too many people behind. But if that's the only thing we did, because very often, you know, sort of from my white perspective, I thought, okay, if we can, well, why fixate on race? Let's just raise all the boats, right? If we can improve equality for all, that will also improve equality for some. But in part, I have to say thank you to wise friends from different lived experience than I. I've also now thought about the flip of that. If the only thing we did was work on inequality for the people who've been forced to most live at the fringe, who've had the least generational privilege, the least opportunity for generational wealth. The house on which I was born, in the neighborhood and which I spent a whole bunch of money to fix up. It's a historic home. It's nice now. It was deteriorating. It was the house that I grew up in. It is in a neighborhood where in 100 years ago, there were no laundromats allowed. The reason there were no laundromats allowed is because the city fathers, and yes, I said fathers, didn't want Chinese people living or working near there. So they banned laundromats. They didn't ban Chinese, but they banned laundromats. The year I was born, a black family could not get a loan in the neighborhood on the street in the house where I was born. That house was purchased for $40,000 the year I was born. It is now worth seven figures. There was not an equal and level playing field. There weren't black families that could have that experience. They all just need to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. It wasn't even a matter of first they have to have the boots. They weren't even allowed to have the straps. So it helps me at least to think of, if we flipped it, and if the thing that we did, and it's sort of like also kind of from my privileged perspective, I can think of, oh, if we just worked on equality generally, that would also help women in this country. But I've now thought more about the flip of it. If the only thing we did, as one of our early callers said, is we helped with the rise of the matriarchy, that would have a significant impact. That would roll downhill also, or maybe uphill. That would impact equality hugely for everybody. If we focused on that, if we work on equality for the people who've been most left out, that will also lift up all the votes. If we work on a society that works best from a Rawlsian perspective, from the people who have been treated the least, it's a good way to help everybody. So anyway, I offer the flip. But back to the white people problem. And I'm willing to call it the white people problem, because the country has a white people problem. Right? We don't just have a Trump problem. We got a white people problem. And I don't hate white people, to be clear. That's not my argument. But I have to acknowledge we have a white people problem. And I want to say to my white people friends out there, you got some responsibility to help solve the problem. And that just doesn't mean kumbaya. It does mean supporting people who have a different set and maybe a less set of generational privilege in their lives. It does mean thinking about policies from a lens that is not only from your perch. It does mean talking to your white friends and say, hey, I know you think racism is real bad. What's your level of racism? I don't mean, are you racist? Everybody will say no. That's not true. Some people, in fact, some of the least racist people I know will say, yes, I am, because they understand that racism, they view racism more as a disease that can be caught by everybody, and it is all of our responsibilities to help other people from it, right? It's not a sin as much as it is a festering challenge that we can relieve one another from and relieve ourselves from, maybe imperfectly. But nobody wants to raise their hand. That's one of the worst insults you can say is, oh, I'm a racist. But if you ask the question, how racist are you? Right? How much bias do you have in the lens in front of your eyes that impacts your belief window? And if you say it's non-zero, the next question is, how honest are you? It helps us think about it. And we should think about it. And we should talk to our white friends and say, hey, what's our responsibility here? What's our responsibility to help bend the arc of history towards justice? Sometimes by pushing harder, sometimes by taking a back seat. And anyway, white people, we got a white people problem. White people got to help solve it. I don't think white people can do it alone. I think the rise of voters of color is one of the biggest hopes of America. The rise of the matriarch is one of the biggest hopes our country has. But anyway, I think the Lyndon Johnson Civil Rights Act, the signing of the Civil Rights Act, historically, of course, is one of the big things that flipped. And the Southernification of American politics, which was residing within the Dixiecrats and now has risen within the Republican Party and now dominates the Republican Party. The old line, the South will rise again. That's what I think has happened to the Republican Party. The party of Teddy Roosevelt is no more. It is now the TNC, the Trump National Committee. And that is the Southernification, the rooting of those Southern conservatives now dominating a once proud political party. I could say more, but it's break.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
It is the Tom Hartman Program, 202-808-9925, 202-808-9925. I'm not saying I hate white people. We just got some work to do.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Did you know a lot of popular dog food brands have whole teams devoted to making their food as addictive as possible? And they often use chemical flavorings to mask ingredients that are awful for your dog, which can lead to problems for your pup, like low energy, skin issues, and digestion problems. Here's the thing. Your dog deserves food that tastes incredible and makes them feel incredible, too. That's why I love feeding my dogs Blue and Chewy, Nature's Blend. It's a premium dog food formulated by Dr. Marty, a veterinarian called the Miracle Worker by Forbes magazine. It has zero artificial preservatives, flavors, or additives. Instead, turkey, beef, salmon, duck, and beef liver are the first five ingredients, so dogs naturally love the flavor. When we feed Blue and Chewy Nature's Blend, they just love it. Today, you can get up to 54% off your first order of Nature's Blend, plus a free bag of Tilly's Treasures, their best-selling beef liver dog treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom or text Tom to 511-511. That's drmartypets.com/THOM. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
The Todd Alba Show.
I love me some Drew Holiday. My favorite buck. I love what he's doing. I just really, really wish it wasn't for the Boston Celtics. My loyalty is still more to Giannis. But like when Drew scores a bucket still, I'm like, yeah.
That's like to a former true. Lover.
I got it a Drew Holiday jersey, a Bucks jersey, and I got an Aaron Jones Packers jersey. This is so why I'm a scoring former lover for both of those players.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
For you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Help support Progressive Radio. If you're listening to us on a commercial station, call their advertisers and let them know you're listening. If you're listening to us on Pacifica, one of our many nonprofit stations, please support them when they do their fundraising drives. Thanks for supporting Progressive Talk Radio and tag your it. Let's go to Jim from Applegate, Michigan, I believe. What's up, Jim?
I asked Tom the same question I'm going to ask you.
Yeah.
And he had nothing to say about it. What is wrong with your white guilt? Do you have white guilt?
Of course.
Well, let's hear about it.
And what I try to do, and thanks for the call. Do you want to say anything else before I respond?
Oh, no, I just want to know how come you don't like white people? You got such white guilt.
No. So I try to love everybody. What I do feel is that I've got, and I've never met you before, but I think you've got, a special responsibility. I believe that America is a redemption story. I'm a patriot. I love my family. I love my community. I will say the majority of people, of human beings, individual human beings, because of my family, the majority of people I love are white people. I love them deeply. I'm deeply glad they are born, that they were born, and that they live. And I think we have a special responsibility. I'm going to cite Herb Belafonte's movie and call it White Man's Burden. That I believe that this country is a redemption story. That for us to be a patriot, and I'm a patriot, I love my country, I believe that this nation is one of the best chances that the world has ever had to reach the dream of humanity, where we have a real chance for equality, a real chance for opportunity, a real chance for freedom. That I believe in the United States of America is the experiment that's given us the best chance. And I can't love it. I have sinned in my own life. I try to still, it's a struggle, but I try to still love myself. And to do that, not merely excise or forget my own sins, but to redeem, to think about how I can improve. And I think about that for my nation. That my country's treatment of Native Americans does not make me not love America. It makes me know that we have a burden to get better. Responsibility, a moral responsibility to get better. That includes to atone. That our treatment of African Americans, black people, of slaves and former slaves and generations that came from slavery, that does not make me not love my country. I love my country. I cast few stones because I am not without sin. But I do think it gives my country a responsibility to atone. I think we have to redeem ourselves from our sins. We have to do our very best to be the country we believe we should be, to achieve the promise that we have.
And I don't think we should run from that. I don't think we should be ashamed of it. My only quibble with the word guilt is, of course, I feel guilt about various things. But I don't think we should lean primarily on guilt or shame. Because I don't think if you wallow in guilt and shame, I don't think you act. I think you stay frozen. I think you stay in your reptilian brain. The way you act is through hope. The way you act is through love. The way you act is through joy. The way you act is through responsibility. And I think we have responsibility. And I think we have to urge. In fact, the communication I want to have with young white men isn't stay away, it's come here. And I want to ask you, can I help? Because I have been that kid. I have been that kid in a black neighborhood that was wondering, because I was white, I was going to get beat up. I've been that kid. More so, by the way, much more so than people running for voting for Republicans based on like, well, I've lived in a neighborhood, you know, and I kind of want to stay in my gated community. Much more so. I have had a complicated relationship with race. And I understand, I'm trying to understand from it that it gives some responsibility. And I want to speak to that young white man who thinks Jordan Peterson might be his only friend. He's not. He is not helping prepare you for the current, certainly the future world. Because the future world is not King Arthur's world. The future world is not the generational power of white males in charge of everything. That is not the future world. And if we want to truly prepare you, let's truly prepare you. Not because we're not on your side. And I do think that one of the weaknesses, and I haven't said this on air sufficiently, and I'm going to struggle to find the words now, and I'm going to get some of them wrong. But one of the weaknesses of current culture is I think there aren't liberal voices speaking directly to young white men saying, you have a place here. You matter. You are loved. You can have ambition. You can have strength. You can have masculinity. Let's do that in a way that works. Let's do that in a way that's less toxic. Let's do that in a way that fits the reality of the current world and, frankly, what the reality of the world should have been some years ago. But there are so many signals being sent to those young white males. And by the way, this might be one of the answers to Rick's question. Why are so many white people voting for Republicans? Well, Republicans are talking to them. If the Democratic Party only speaks with shame, if it doesn't say there is a place for white people here, then I think that, well, who are you going to go to? You're going to go to the place that's talking to you. So we've got to find the rhetorical architecture. We've got to find the words. We've got to find the policies. We've got to find the community. We've got to do one of the hardest things. In fact, I'm going to call it the hardest thing. I'm going to call it a thing that I have yet to find a culture that's ever done, which is to have a truly multicultural, truly multiracial, truly multireligious, truly sort of not merely dominated by a single gender movement rooted in justice and freedom and hope of democracy. That is not too narrow, that is not too monotheistic, that is not too monochromatic. What country has done that? This is the country that has to do that. And that doesn't give me shame. That gives me hope. That gives me joy. That is a cause worth working towards. That is a reason worth living for. That can give us righteous purpose. And I want to say to my young white male friends out there, join us. There is a place for you here.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Everything is expensive right now. Gas, food, you name it. You're spending more, you're making the same or less money. So, what do? You rack up credit card debt, that's what you do. It's not your fault, it's the economy. And guess what? If you rack up too much credit card debt like some of us, you can't pay your bills. Then the credit card companies, as nice as they are, start hounding you for money. Then you start your downward spiral. A smart thing for you to do is to call the Zero Debt. They can help you consolidate all your credit card bills into one affordable payment. Millions of people have done it. It works to make you debt-free. Make this free call right now. It costs you nothing to learn more.
800-298-9093. 800-298-9093. 800-298-9093. That's 800-298-9093.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it. The moon.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James Help Seth Pick the Next Theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up.
That's it. The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly.